For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast, hosted by the starting kicker of your Golden Gophers, Matthew Trickett, and me, Tony Liebert. As you can see and hear, Matt is out for the week, so I'll just be riding solo. And for today's episode, we will be talking about a lot of Gophers coaching news. Matt Simon and Greg Harbaugh Jr. have been named co-offensive coordinators, replacing Kirk Ciarrocca at that position. And we'll be talking about the other Gophers coaching changes. Winston Delatte-Badere coming back as the D-line coach, and Paul Haynes and Kenny Burns accepting other positions. We'll also close out the show talking about Georgia's 65-7 blowout win over TCU in the national championship and what it means for the Big Ten and the Gophers and really the rest of college football. All right. I guess we'll just jump right into really the news of since the last time we had an episode was Kirk Ciarrocca deciding to leave the Gophers program and go to Rutgers to accept the same position. So everyone's obviously asking why, and I think the biggest reason is money, motivation. Ciarrocca has a relationship with Rutgers head coach Greg Schiano. He was there in the past at Rutgers, really didn't have much success, but clearly Schiano's someone that Ciarrocca trusts. Ciarrocca is someone that Schiano trusts, so they built a rapport, and he's getting nearly a 2/3 increase of his contract, or 1/3, excuse me, from roughly 800 to 900,000 to 1.5 mil. That would be 2/3. Clearly not a math major. I think there's a reason why I'm studying journalism, but yeah. So Ciarrocca's decision to leave was clearly money motivated. And I think a lot of Gophers fans realize it might have been time for a change philosophy wise on the offense. Ciarrocca is a guy who's been coaching a while. Everyone says, oh, it's PJ's philosophy, Ciarrocca, like who's calling the plays, who's making the decisions, blah, blah, blah. It's obviously a collaborative effort, and Ciarrocca has a lot to say. It's a guy that PJ did trust enough to come back to the program. I would assume he will not be coming back for a third time anytime soon. Leaving twice, I think, would probably close the door on that and not getting fired either time. But as for the replacement, in my opinion, I think the Gophers made the right move in promoting Matt Simon to the position that Ciarrocca had. So they came out and said that they're going with co-offensive coordinators, and I think this is something that Coach Fleck likes to do. At the end of the day, it's a bit of semantics, in my opinion. I think it has a little bit to do with pay that I believe they would technically save some money not having to pay Simon a full like offensive coordinator salary, and Harbaugh just gets a slight raise from his tight end coach salary. Like I showed earlier, I'm not great with financials, so I don't know exactly if that's true. And I think since Ciarrocca left the first time, Coach Fleck has done this with both the OC and DC. So I think that has a little bit to do with the fact that he likes to have almost an assistant offensive coordinator. If Simon takes a job next offseason, he can be like, okay, we'll just promote our co-offensive coordinator to head offensive coordinator, which really would never be head, like we've noticed that it's he would just continue being the co-offensive coordinator because Matt Simon has been since Shirokas left. He's been considered the co-offensive coordinator. So on paper, his title will not change, but technically Shiraka was the co-offensive coordinator. So I think Simon's taking Shiraka's spot and Harbaugh is taking the spot that Simon had. And I think it's fair to assume that Simon will be calling plays. Harbaugh will have a lot of say in the offense. Like most coaches should. It shouldn't just be one guy saying, this is what we're running, blah, blah, blah. Can't do anything about it. Because really, in business and in life, the best decisions are, I think, made collaboratively with other opinions and stuff. And personally, I think we'll see a bit of a change in the Gophers' philosophy. Simon has shown to be a bit more pass-centric. Obviously, he's a wide receivers coach. And he likes throwing to the tight ends, and Harbaugh is a tight end coach. He's shown that in his two bowl games. I personally believe that he's ready to call plays. He's been with PJ Fleck since, I believe, 2014 at Western Michigan, been the wide receivers coach, been working with the quarterbacks, working with an offense. He's still only 37 years old, and it's just so like I personally think he's ready. I think with the Gophers' decisions that they've made in the transfer portal, bringing in wide receivers, that we're going to see a bit of a change. I think the Gophers are always going to be a run-first team, but I think we're going to see a bit more of a balanced attack in 2023. And it's just there's a lot of Gophers fans on Twitter that say, oh, them coming out with this co idea is really showing that Fleck isn't confident in Simon, blah, blah, blah. I think a lot of Gophers fans just don't realize that they've had co-offensive coordinators since Shiraka left the first time. And like Shiraka technically was the co-offensive coordinator. So ultimately, I see this more as a 1A, 1B. Simon's the 1A, Harbaugh is the 1B. And I think this is a promotion for Simon. I might not say that on the Gophers team website, but I think in the locker room and in the offices of the Gophers football program, it is a promotion. And Fleck has shown that he likes to keep things under wraps. And I think this is just a little more one of those situations as coach speak, as just semantics that he likes to not know. He likes to not show what he's doing. But ultimately, I think this means Matt Simon will be calling plays. Harbaugh will have a lot to say about it. And I personally think that's good for this program and good for this team. Outside of the offensive coordinator position, we obviously saw cornerbacks coach Paul Haynes accept the same position at Wisconsin. And my reaction to that, a lot of times with these coaches, defense line coach Brick Haley also left. I think that one might have been more mutual. I don't know for sure, but with position coaches, sometimes like all these coaches are looking to get a defensive coordinator job, get a better job, and Coach Haynes probably thought he was just a little stagnant in Minnesota. And like PJ Fleck has said, PJ Fleck's not for everyone. Maybe he's just like, okay, like I've been here for a few years now. Let's just try something else and see how that works. He had a past relationship with Coach Fickell in Wisconsin. And he obviously thinks that's just better for his career. I don't think it's him saying, oh, PJ Fleck's horrible, blah, blah, blah. I need to go screw him over and go to his rival. I think he just thinks that's better, a better career move. He might have got a little bit of a pay bump. And really, that's that. And as for Brooke Haley, like I said, I have a feeling that was a bit more mutual after a rather disappointing season on the defensive line. And you could argue the Gophers got an upgrade with Winston Delat-Bedere coming back to the program from playing under Coach Fleck in his first year or two. And I think for this move, when you look at position coaches, sometimes they are the ones that are recruiting players and going to multiple house visits and having constant contact with them. And when you get a guy who's younger than 30, like Winston Delat-Bedere, that he's able to relate with those guys. Brooke Haley was a guy who's coached for 40 years. He's in his 60s. He can't relate with those guys as much. And the Gophers have been very done a solid job recruiting on the defensive line, and I think that's only going to even get better with Delat-Bedere. And obviously, he was at Akron, who was one of the, I guess, worst programs in the country. But he's a young coach. He's only going to get better. He trusts Coach Fleck. Coach Fleck clearly trusts him. And I think this is a very good move. At the end of the day, positional coaches don't really change the program by any means. But Delat-Bedere is a guy who could help you get a recruit or two along the defensive line, along the defensive front that can change a recruiting class. And it just those are the little moves that help. Like he's the first domino that could fall in a long chain of things that the Gophers get the next Jackson Howard or something like that. Because I just feel like Delat-Bedere would be able to relate with him more. It's just having a 28-year-old, I'm not sure on his whole age, so 28-year-old Delat-Bedere come into your house and talk to you about why you should go to Minnesota. He went to Minnesota. He's not from Minnesota. He's from, I believe, the Baltimore area. And he can tell you, he's like, oh, the Minnesota winters, blah, 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 when you're in college, blah, all this stuff. Like he did it all. And Brooke Haley's been at 17 stops, and he's going to say, oh, 17 years ago when I coached Marcell Dareus at Alabama, he did this, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're not at Alabama. And Delat-Bedere can be like, Minnesota's the place to be. I went there. I enjoyed it. So it might be a small coaching change, but I think this can really help some things down the road. And then as for Kenny Burns, one of the more respected coaches on the Gophers program, Gopher staff, taking the head coaching job at Kent State. Obviously, everyone knows that's no dig to PJ Fleck or anything. That's just a clear positional move, career move to become a head coach of a football program. And I think every Gophers fan should root for his success at Kent State in the MAC. And I think he might do pretty well. And now with Harbaugh becoming co-offense coordinator and coaching the quarterbacks, Paul Haynes leaving, and Kenny Burns leaving, the Gophers have tight end coach, running back coach, and cornerback coach vacancies. With, I guess, really the only one that I think has a chance to be promoted within what might be Danny Collins, who's currently the safeties coach, could get promoted to cornerbacks coach. Personally, I don't think that will happen. Last year was his first year as a positional coach. So I imagine, if I had to guess, but this is an educated guess, that I think all three positions will be hired outside of the program from other coaches, which will be interesting. I don't have any names I could give you that I have heard the Gophers looking at, but I anticipate that someone, I guess a little scoop, someone that I know who's well connected in the Rutgers program, has told me that there are some rumors that Kirk Ciarrocca is bringing another coach with him. Obviously, that will not be Simon or Harbaugh. It won't be Delat-Bedere. I don't think it'll be Brian Callahan. I don't think it'll be Danny Collins. And really, I just don't understand who it would be. He's pretty well connected, so could be true, could be not, but he just keeps telling me that he keeps hearing that. So I don't know how likely that is. I just thought I would share. But overall, I position coaches change every year. They've changed every year with Fleck. They've changed every year with Nick Saban. It's just part of college football, part of college sports. I don't think it's really a big deal for the program. And I think so far the Gophers have done a good job replacing their offensive coordinator and their defensive line coach. Now it's really just down to the tight end, running back, and cornerback coach. The other big news, I guess, since last week's episode was Georgia's absolute blowout win over TCU, 65-7 in the national championship Monday night in Los Angeles. And with such a blowout win, there's obviously a lot of talk about the sport of college football, where it's at, the SEC versus the Big Ten, the SEC versus everyone else, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought I would share some opinions on what I think about what this means, I guess, for the sport of college football. I think the national championship was the semifinal. It was Ohio State versus Georgia. Ohio State clearly could have won that game. They had a field goal at the end. A few plays go Ohio State's way. Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't get knocked out of that game. They make the kick at the end. We're looking at Ohio State versus TCU, and Ohio State could have won by 40. They have just as many five stars as Georgia, maybe a few less, but it would be just as big as of a talent discrepancy. So ultimately, I don't think this game has anything really that shows that the SEC is miles ahead of the rest of college football, especially the Big Ten. I mean, TCU obviously had a talent discrepancy. Everyone knew that going into the game. They've had a talent discrepancy in a lot of games they played. They had a huge one against Michigan. And Michigan could have easily won that game if they remembered how to call plays in the red zone. And we could have seen an all Big Ten title, and it could have been Michigan, Ohio State, and everyone, Big Ten on the national scale. Everyone's like, ooh, the Big Ten's catching up to the SEC. We got USC and UCLA coming, blah, blah, blah. It would be a whole different narrative. But football is a game of inches, and now the national media is going to talk about how the SEC is the greatest thing of all time and they're never going to lose ever again. And which they are the best conference. There's no doubting that. But I think this year it almost showed that the Big Ten is catching up because Ohio State was that close to your top team, to your top dog, and they gave them their best shot. And the SEC really, like, Alabama was very beatable this year. They looked so good in the Sugar Bowl, but they were very beatable. Tennessee, they got destroyed by South Carolina, who's like a mid-tier SEC team, and that was when they were fully healthy. And LSU tripped up against Texas A&M. Like, you could say that the conference is deep, but those are the arguments that the SEC uses against the Big Ten. I think this year, the SEC's top three of Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and you throw in LSU there, would have an interesting argument against the Big Ten's top three of Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and probably Iowa or Purdue. Football is an interesting sport because it's not a seven-game series. You just play one game. And that's where you get results like TCU beating Michigan. Michigan wanted to get cute and they wanted to run the Philly special and they threw two pick sixes, blah, blah, blah. Those aren't sustainable game over game. TCU came, they made plays and they won that game and they deserved to be in the national championship. But if you play that game 10 times, I think Michigan wins eight. And I think most people would agree with that. But that's not how sports work. And if you If you play Georgia, Ohio State 10 times, I bet it's Georgia wins six of them. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think this really changes much about the sport. It just, if you play the national championship 10 times, I think Georgia wins eight or nine of those. It's just they're a much better team than TCU. And Georgia, Michigan would have been a very interesting final because you get the rematch of the semifinal last year. Michigan's a better team than they were last year. You got a better quarterback, possibly better running game. Their defense is playing just as well. They don't have the big names like Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo like last year. But that would have been an interesting game. I think Georgia would have been favored by 4 or 5 points. That would have just been a lot more interesting of a national title. Obviously, hindsight, a lot of people are thinking TCU would keep this close, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like I don't think this result really says like, oh, the SEC is so far ahead. Nobody else is ever going to be competitive. Ohio State will have an interesting turnover with a few of the receivers going pro, Jackson Smith and Jigba, but he barely played this year. They're gonna have a new quarterback. But like everyone hates on Ryan Day, but he's a good coach. I think he'll be there for a while. I think Ohio State's fine. Michigan, I think, might be ranked number two or three to start the year next year if Jim Harbaugh stays. That's obviously gonna be one of the biggest storylines in the offseason. Penn State might have their best chance ever to make the semifinal. So I think the Big Ten's trending up with USC and UCLA coming soon. Two programs that are trending in the right direction. Obviously, we know Minnesota's trending in the right direction. Iowa's getting Cade McNamara. They're trending in the right direction. Wisconsin's trending in the right direction. Illinois. Purdue, I think, is going to be better than people think next year. With a new head coach, Ryan Walters. They're bringing in a pretty interesting offensive coordinator with Graham Harrell. Nebraska's trending in the right direction, new head coach. It's an interesting time for the Big Ten. And I don't know if you can say the same for a lot of the SEC schools. You could, like, Alabama's fine and they're going to be competitive with Nick Saban, but he's getting older. They're still going to be a top five program. They're still going to be competing for national championships, but he's getting older. You can't say that he's not. Obviously, we know Georgia's class of the country, class of the sport. Tennessee's trending in the right direction. LSU's trending in the right direction. But like outside of that, like who? Like Arkansas, middling team. Texas A&M is a mess. They hired Bobby Petrino. They're a mess. They're getting all the players, but I don't see them playing in the playoff anytime soon. South Carolina's interesting. Kentucky's always interesting. Auburn just hired a problematic head coach. It's tough to say next 5 years if USC and UCLA join soon. Like I might say the Big Ten will get more championships than the SEC. That's my hot take. And I don't know if that's that far out there. Penn State next year will be a really, really interesting team. I'll just say that now. They've always, I think, been a quarterback away, and now they get their version of Ethan Calliope-McManus. Like they recruit on the same level as an Ohio State, and it's time for them to show it next year. Next college football season, man, it's making me excited. The sport ended yesterday, and I'm already looking forward to next year. But I think the sport's in a good spot. Obviously, we're getting the 12-team playoff the year after next year. That might honestly, you might see more results like this. You get a team hot, like maybe like a Utah or like a Kansas State, and they knock off someone, let's say, so they would be like an 8 seed. So they win their first round matchup against like a comparable opponent. And then let's say they knock off a Michigan and then they got a road to, they just win one more and then they're playing Georgia in the final. Might see a similar result. So it'll be interesting to see if results like this will be more or less common with the 12-team playoff. I think you can make an argument for both sides, but I mean, that's football, that's sports, game of inches. I don't think this results saying like, oh, the SEC is so miles ahead of everyone and nobody else is ever going to catch up. I just think Georgia's really good. They're probably the best team in the country, and they showed that. But their toughest tests were against Ohio State. And like, they almost lost to Missouri. They barely beat Kent State. Like, they were the best team in the country this year, and that's why they won the national championship. But it's just not, they weren't unbeatable. They had a lot of flaws. A lot of teams had a lot of flaws. And it was a year for a team like Michigan to win the title, I think. And they just choked. They got too cute. But I guess wrapping up the show, I guess between now and the season, we're gonna hear a lot of transfer portal, a lot of roster moves. The transfer portal closes in 5 days on January 15th, which means nobody can enter the transfer portal before then, unless you, I believe, are a grad transfer. I believe you still can. But anyone younger than that or other than that cannot until the spring, where there will be another 45-day window. But if you enter the transfer portal, you still can commit to a different school between now and the spring. It just, there's nobody entering. So by January 15th, we know the Gophers won't lose anyone. They might gain people. But yeah, I would hope the Gophers can attack the trenches the rest of the way. I think that should just be priority number one. And really, maybe their only priority left in the portal. I think they have a pretty formidable roster everywhere else to compete at a similar level that they did this year. Just might need one or two offensive and defensive linemen. They got their wide receivers. They got a lot of young running back talent. I just think those are clearly their biggest holes on this roster, and there's no reason why they cannot add more players there. But yeah, rest of the off season, the episodes will obviously get less frequent. Gonna try to do some more player interviews, coaching interviews, and hopefully Matt is back next week with us. But as always, I appreciate everyone for listening. Row the boat, Sky U Ma, and go Gophers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.